Good morning. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We are in the third pasuk, Gemalatu Tov Belo Ra. Yesterday we spoke about the need to say that she does for him good and not bad. We spoke yesterday about the great power, the great destructive power of bed. That even a little bed, Hashem made the world in a way where even a little bed could destroy tremendous amount of good. And the great person and the great woman knows that it's not enough to do good. You also have to make sure that there's lo ra. Have to make sure that your good isn't going to be infected by ra. Because a little ra in gallons of good could destroy a tremendous amount of tov, of good. It's not enough to be a person who's tov. You have to be a person who's lo ra. It's a whole different level of a human being. And very often, as we said yesterday, a person can excuse themselves for the ra, and the tov in them could actually be the catalyst for the ra. Because they feel so good about this, the many things that they do in the relationship or in other areas of life, so it gives them kind of an excuse, a mental excuse, or maybe a subconscious excuse, to do things that are not so tov. Because since they're 95%, they're doing okay. Get a pass. This is the mistake. Hashem made the world not that way. He made the world where the power of ra is extremely destructive. We gave yesterday a number of examples. One of the great examples in this area is the great possession of a Shem Tov, a good name. How important is a good name? Shlomo HaMelech in Mishle says as follows, Nivhar Shem, a name is a greater choice, Me'osher Rab, from a osher, from wealth, Rab, that is huge, meaning if you had to choose. You don't always have to choose, but if you have to choose between wealth and a good name is greater. He's not talking here about a religious greater. He's not saying, oh, having a good name is better in Olam Haba. Not what he's talking about. We know that already. We know that the only thing you take with you is what you accomplish. Like it says, Tov Shem Shemen Tov, Beyom HaMavet Miyom HaValado. A good name is better than good perfume. Beyom HaMavet, and the day of death is better, when you have a good name, is better than the day you were born. We know a good name is what you take with you to the eternal world. That's not what Shlomo HaMelech is coming to tell you. Nifhar means in this world, for practical success in this world, if you have a choice, someone could hand you tremendous amount of wealth, or someone could hand you a great name. He's telling you a great name will take you further in life, then Osher Rav, a great name, is able to pave the way in every relationship that you have. It's able to bring you to tremendous relationships that will be successful. Just because a person has a lot of money, that doesn't guarantee them success in many areas that need success. Nivhar Shem Me'osher Rab. A good name is more of a choice, is a greater choice. Me'osher Rab. That's the way we're supposed to understand values in life. Now, on this subject, there is a pasuk in the Torah that talks about a person who was chosen like a needle from a haystack. One man that was chosen from hundreds of thousands to be the builder of the Mishkan. And you have to know, when someone chooses a builder to build his house, it's a great honor for the builder, depending on the house. The more important is the house, the greater is the honor for the builder that he built this person's house. Sometimes they'll even give the guy a break.
Discount.
Even though he's wealthy, but wealthy people like discounts.
Bargains.
They like bargains. That's how they became wealthy. So he's willing to lower the price because it's a great honor and he should be the one that built this fellow's house, the kavod. Besides that, it brings him more business, but it's also prestige. It's also tremendous kavod. Now, what would you say if you're building the only building of its kind? You're building the Mishkan. And it's not just a one-time building. It's once. But it's also God's building. It's a tremendous, we can't even fathom it, so I'm not going to try, but it's way more that any builder would be feeling special about any house that he would build. This is the only home of the Creator. The Shachanti Vetocham. Hashem says this is my residence. Tremendous. All the Beracha of Am Yisrael came from the Mikdash. You have millions of people, millions and millions then, and millions after, that directly benefit from the Mishkan. Who would be chosen to such an honor? They have to remember something. We're talking about a nation of slaves. We're not talking about people that were in interior design. They didn't go to schools to learn architecture, they're not engineers. You have to remember, we were slaves for hundreds of years. So you're talking about a nation that had not one person who had any clue about building and how to make structures and how to make things come together. So whoever is going to be chosen, it's not going to be on those merits. Maybe they'll have a little knack for it. Maybe they have a little better ability with their hands. But in general, there's nobody here that's experienced and there's nobody here that was taught. So who would Hashem choose to build his home? Now, when I choose someone to build my home, I'm looking to see who knows how to do the job in the most effective and quickest way and cheapest. That's how I choose a guy. I want to know that in the end, he's going to have a good product. Simple, it's obvious. So the question is, when Hashem chooses someone to build his home, what does he look for? Does he also look for a person who knows how to build, who knows how to be efficient? What is he looking for when he gets a builder for his home? It's nice to know. Says the Pasuk, Vayomer Moshe el Bnei Yisrael. Moshe tells the Jewish people, Re'u. He wants them to pay attention. Re'u means pay attention. Sometimes things happen in life and they're important, but you're not paying attention. So you don't think they're important. This might have gone under the rug. Hashem chose somebody. Okay, he chose him. He had to choose somebody. He chose Bezalel. We know he chose Bezalel to be the one to build the Mishkan. Okay. It's nice. He chose him. But says Moshe Rabbeinu to Bnei Israel, Hashem didn't tell him that. It didn't sound like that. It says, Vayomer Moshe el Bnei Israel. Moshe told the Jewish people, gentlemen, Re'u. Re'u means pay attention. Something just happened. Maybe you missed it. Sometimes you have to tell people to look because they're going to miss it. What should they see? Kara Hashem Beshem. Hashem has chosen, has called out somebody by name. Who is this? Bezalel ben Uri ben Holi Mateuda. He's coming to tell them that the choice of Bezalel had nothing to do with his capabilities. That's not what made him the candidate. Re'u, look how Hashem chooses someone to build his home. What's he looking for? Is he looking for a Torah scholar? Someone who knows Kol HaTorah Kula? Maybe. Is he looking for a person who's charitable? Who has a lev tov, a good heart? Maybe. What's he looking for? Looking for a wealthy guy who has kavod and people look up to him and he gives charity. What's he looking for? When Hashem came to choose a builder of his home, that's a relationship. Having a builder is a relationship. It's a very nice relationship. Someone who is partners in building your house. So how exactly do you choose it? He says, you know how Hashem chose him? You know what was the barometer that he was looking at when he's looking at others? Well, he was looking for someone who had a solid reputation. Because Hashem doesn't like to associate with anyone who has a name that is tarnished. Amazing. What does that have to do with anything? You know, a good name might be important for a good business deal. You need a guy with a good name so that you have honesty, integrity. You need a good name, you get married to somebody. But what does it have to do with a good name? When was the last time you met somebody that when they're looking for a builder, I need a guy with an impeccable reputation, a good name. People look for price, quality, experience. You guys, a good name or not, let's say you're a builder. He's a very rough guy. He doesn't treat his wife so well. But in his work, he's solid. He got divorced 50 times. He's in court because he abused this one and this one and that one. But the great builder does the job, doesn't say a word to you, delivers on time, does things as is. I think most people would say, good price, good quality, good businessman, hired. No. But when Hashem came to hire a builder, he said, I need a guy with an impeccable reputation. Not just in building. I mean, Bezalel had no reputation in building. I need to see a guy whose name is clean. No spots on his dress. Everything perfect. And says Moshe Rabbeinu to the Jewish people, Re'u, pay attention. Look how Hashem chooses people that He wants to be associated with. Even the guy building his house, Hashem is careful. He wants to make sure the guy's got a good name. Hashem doesn't like to associate in a close way with people who have a tarnished name. A good name takes you and the person with you to far places. Nifhar Shem Me'osher Rav. When people come to choose friends today, the first thing they look at is what they can benefit from the person. And if that's the case, the first thing they're going to look at is how much money the guy has. Because I can benefit from him. When he has money, I'll be included in some of the festivities. If he has money, maybe one day I'm going to need a loan. I have someone to turn to. He has money, maybe one day he'll include me in a deal in his business. Maybe he'll open a division. Who knows? When people have money, it's good to be close to them because there are certain benefits that you can get from them. It's normal. That's what people do. I hope it's not surprising anybody here. That is the normal way of mankind. They try to associate with people that can benefit them. The same way they associate with the rabbi. Why do they get close to a rabbi? Because they can benefit from the rabbi. He can teach them. He can guide them. He can help them. Normal. When you choose a friend to be close to, you choose someone that you can get benefit from, now or the future. It's not a terrible thing. It's not a bad thing. When you choose people that could benefit you on your journey of life. It doesn't mean you use them and don't help them yourself. You also help them. It's a relationship. But Shlomo HaMelech is telling you that there's no greater person that you can benefit from in your life than a person who has a solid name. A solid name is something that can bring you, the guy who you're close to, him, can bring you a lot of good in your life. Being around the Shem Tov is being around a tremendous amount of wealth that will benefit you just being associated with him. And therefore, says Moshe Rabbeinu to the Jewish people, Re'u, I want you to take notice. Look what Hashem chose to be around. He wants a person who has a Shem. Wonderfully. The Midrash says that a person has three names in life. The name that his parents gave him at birth. Then there's the name that people give him during his time in this world. And then, says the Midrash, it's the name that he makes for himself. That's why it says, Yom HaMavet MiYom HaValedo. The greatest name you have is the name that you take with you, that you work many years in order to take to eternity in this world and the next world. I read for you the Midrash. At Motzei Shlosha Shemot, you'll find three names a person is named by. One is Mashekorin lo Abi Ve'imo, the name at birth. Ve'ehad Mashekorin lo Bene Adam, meaning people see him, he's good at something. They say, he's the ball player. He's the real estate guy. He's the mohel. He's whatever they see that a person does, they give him a name. Hopefully a good name. And then, Ehad Mashekonehu Le'atzmo. The name you acquire for yourself means your inner self, your essence, not based on what you do. People only see what you do. They give you a name based on what you do. But then there's who you are. You're not a mohel. You're not a real estate guy. Your essence, your true, real self. That's the greatest name of all. Tov mekulan mashekonehu le'atzmo. That's the name you have with you in this world. And that's the only thing you keep when you go to the next world. You have your great name. You go to Olam Haba. Wherever you go, doors are opening. In this world too, wherever you go with a good name, doors are opening for you. A young man who works 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years after he gets bar mitzvah, he works and works to develop a Shem Tov. Many doors will open for him. All the important doors of life will open for him. Person has a great girl, great family, great everything. Doors are wide open for such a young man. And the same for a young lady who developed a reputation, a sterling reputation, based on what she's done for herself. She'll have many doors open in life, and it doesn't stop at marriage. The doors will continue. The doors of success, real success, open up for people who have a good reputation. That's what it means. What you acquire for yourself, what you become of yourself, nothing greater. Hashem says, that's my man. I want to be associated with such a person. With him, I can go far. Kav yachol. Now, listen to this. I brought this, not only for what I just said, I brought it to tell you the Midrash. There is a Midrash, Midrash Tanhuma, on this pasuk, the one that says, Moshe told the Jewish people, pay attention. Look why Hashem chose this man. Says the Midrash, and I'm not misquoting. I'm reading it to you as it's written. On the pasuk, says the Midrash, Yelamedenu Rabenu. Somebody in the Bet Midrash, when he heard this pasuk, he asked his rabbi in the Bet Midrash, At kama hayab Adam, hametapel bekilayim. How much does a person have to be careful in the laws of shatnez? This is not a misprint. The laws of shatnez have not yet even been discussed in the Torah. And the rabbi answers him. He tells him, you know how you have to be careful in the laws of shatnez? Should I tell you? I'll tell you how much. Afilu, the pasuk says, ubeget kilayim shatnez.
a garment of shatnez, wool and linen together, lo ya'ale alecha. Don't, you can't have it go on you. Oh, says Rabbi Tanhuma, afilu al gabe me'akelim. Even if a guy is wearing 100 garments, God bless him, he put on 100 garments, one on top of each other, guy's gonna look quite large. 100 garments that are all kosher. Each one, he went to the laboratory and they checked it for him. Beautiful. He says, but now, what about the 101st? Already you have 100 good ones. The 101st is not sitting on your body. It's not sitting on the item on your body. It's 100 garments away from your body. So, what about that? Says Rabbi Tanhuma, Asur lo levosh. You can't put on the 101st garment if it has shatnez. Because the pasuk says, lo ya'ale alecha. Just can't go on you in any which way. Very nice to know that in the laws of shatnez, even 100 garments can't save you from the one that goes on top of them. No shatnez. The obvious question is, what does this have to do with Bezalel? What does it have to do with God choosing Bezalel? What is this conversation? So I'm telling you, you read the Midrash, you can't believe your eyes. After you read about Bezalel, it says, please teach us about shatnez. I once saw a most beautiful answer to this question. They're bringing our attention to the sensitivity of acquiring a good name. You know, shatnez, at the end of the day, it's one string of wool in a linen garment. Can't put it on. One string. I got an entire garment. One string of wool, you can't put on the garment. So you fix it. And not only that, one string in a garment on top of 100 perfect garments is still a problem. You know why that's brought here? Because they're telling you acquiring a good name doesn't happen by majority. It doesn't happen by, oh, I have 100 perfect garments. It's a big deal. I didn't do the right thing over there. Okay. I got a long record. One string in one garment on top of 100 kosher garments, you're guilty. They're telling you how sensitive it is to acquire a good name. A guy works 50 years and one silly action could ruin 50 years of a reputation. A reputation is built on consistency. It's built on perfection. We said yesterday, you can make mistakes. Even to build a good name, you can make mistakes. We are human, we make mistakes. But it's mistakes that happen not on purpose. And when they happen, you own them. You get up and say, I made a mistake. Such a mistake can continue a good name.
But a person who excuses themselves, even after 100 years of a buildup, that good name could be destroyed. Velora, imagine, such a, it almost seems unfair. It's the reality. Guy built a great reputation. He did something silly in his business. He did something silly with his family. He said the wrong thing. He got up in shul and who knows what he said in public. By mistake, he got up and said all kinds of words, not so clean. All of a sudden, he tarnished 50 years. This is Gemalat Utov, the power of Ra can wash away so much goodness. Building a reputation will open doors for you and your children and anyone associated with you. Being a person who has a good reputation is the most attractive to the Creator, and it should be most attractive to me and you to be such a person and to look for such people to be around. No excuses for letting go. No excuses for shouting, for cursing, for belittling, for stepping out of line. No excuses. Shem Tov, something that comes out of consistency. Don't ruin it. Person can have a moment of anger and destroy so much good in a relationship. Or Chot Tzadikim says, listen to these words. He's talking over there about the love of honor. People who love attention from others. People that run to be noticed by others. They're, we'll call it Sheiva, their mission, is that people should respect them. That's what they wake up thinking about. That's what they worry about. They need to feel accepted in their, whether it's social, whether it's in other ways, they need to feel like people look at them in a favorable way. It's called kavod. They want to feel honor from others, and they spend their whole life. They have to dress a certain way depending on the social norm that they're trying to be in with. They have to talk a certain way. They have to act a certain way. They have to travel a certain way. There's certain expectations. If you want respect from the people around you, you have to know what they respect. And you have to be all in. You don't like it so much? Doesn't matter. It might hurt you. Doesn't matter. It might cost you. Doesn't matter. Maybe you don't even have the money. It doesn't matter. You'll borrow and steal just so you can have your kavod, normal. One of the great life challenges. The Chot Tzadikim calls it ahavat kavod. The love of receiving honor from others. He says, hi ra'a me'od. Says very bad, this item. This item that we all have by nature, we're born with it. We are born looking to please others and feeling good when they are pleased with us. We're born with that. But our job in life is to
direct our goals in a different place. He says, Ahava Kavod, you continue that mindset. And here's the line I want to share with you. It's relevant to today. A guy says, listen, I definitely have this sickness. I'm very sensitive for people and what they think of me and the way they look at me and the way they talk about me. And I am very, very sensitive. I think most people around us, if they're honest, would say that. I am very sensitive. Again, which people you want to impress, it's different. Some people say, who cares about what they think? Yeah, but you care about what someone else thinks. You may not care about that guy, but you have a whole other box in your corner, somewhere in your closet, that you care about. It's very easy to say, what do you care about what they think? But you have your own issue. The guy might say, listen, I do have this issue. Definitely, it's very, very big on my mind, other people's opinion. But at the end of the day, I do a lot of good. The Orchot Tzadikim says, having this mindset is very bad. He calls it Ra'ah Me'od. He calls this desire very bad. And someone might come to the Orchot Tzadikim and say, very bad. But do you know how much good I do? I do a lot of good. I like attention. I look for it. I get frustrated when I don't have it. But I do a lot of good things. Why are you saying it's very bad? Says the Orchot Tzadikim, listen to these words. Listen good. I hope we can all understand it. I hope I can understand it. He says, Ki ha-kavod, such an inner reality, looking for kavod is from the inside. Ki ha-kavod, such a reality, mekalkel kol ha-ma'asim. Says the Orchot Tzadikim, such a mindset, a people pleaser, a person who needs other people's stamp for his success, a person who needs to be respected and honored by others, such a mindset is going to be mekalkel. It's going to ruin. It's going to put a stain on all your actions. Means you come to pray. Tefillah is a beautiful thing. Come to talk to Hashem. But if you are that guy, you're the kavod guy, somehow it's going to have a stain on your tefillah. For example, maybe while you're talking to Hashem, you're thinking about the guy next to you, how he's looking at you saying, wow, look how nice the guy prayed. All of a sudden, your mind just goes somewhere else. You were talking to Hashem. All of a sudden, you're thinking about the guy and how much he loves you and how much he appreciates you. Of course, if you really knew the truth, you know the guy could care less about you. That's a whole different problem. It's a whole different issue. Nobody's watching you the same way he's thinking you're watching him. Nobody's watching each other. No one dreams about the other. It's all fake. It's not even real. But it feels very real for the person who's looking for it. It feels like people are watching and looking and thinking and dreaming and whatever imagination you could come up with, because that's all it is. It's all imagination. It's not real. Kavod from other people is not real. It's fake. Nobody cares about you. I hate to say it that way, but that's the truth. If they care about you, is because they want something from you. Unless they're a holy Jew that loves and follows the mitzvot and fulfills ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha, but it takes quite a lot of work to be able to live such a life of loving people. The regular guy in the street doesn't care about you. You're dreaming in your mind how much he's in awe and enamored by you. And you're all fake, not true. And even if it was true, it wouldn't make a difference. Who cares what he thinks about you? But that's what happens. Here you are in shul praying, talking to Hashem. It's very nice. But all of a sudden, these ideas might come up in your mind. You're giving charity. Beautiful. You're helping people. What could be better than helping people in need? You're helping individuals. You're helping institutions. You're a philanthropist. Gorgeous. You're known as the philanthropist. Kavod will put a stain on your actions. You're a big philanthropist. You got a big stain on it. Kavod somehow spoils your philanthropy. A rabbi teaches every day, has a lot of students, has a kahal. He works hard, wakes up early, teaching, doing, helping. L'shem Shamayim. He's doing it for the right reasons. But when kavod enters his atmosphere, when a kavod becomes part of what he's doing, it puts a stain on all his hard work. It puts a stain on his Torah. It puts a stain on his service. Here's a person doing so much good, but looking for recognition will ruin it. What words these are? You know, Pat, you can crazy these words are. Hakavod mekalkel kol ha-ma'asim. Anything good you do in life, you add in kavod into it, and you're ruining it. Doesn't mean you got nothing. Not saying that either. But it ruins it. Kavod ruins a marriage. The desire for recognition can ruin marriages on many levels. Kavod could ruin parents' relationship with their children. They do so much for their children, but then they expect a certain amount of kavod. And when they don't get it, they don't react the right way. It's true, children have to respect their parents. That's the issue. But very often, parents get very frustrated because their children aren't giving them the proper respect. They should be concerned because their kids are not giving them respect. That much they could work on trying to figure that, but it's not about that. They get offended. Kavod ruins you as a parent. Kavod ruins you as a wife, as a husband. Kol ha-ma'asim, unbelievable. Guy's working 24 hours. But kavod, a little ingredient called kavod in the 24 hours, major stain. Yes, we must look to do things in a pure, complete way. You do a lot of good, gemalah tu tov. It's very nice how much you do. But make sure you keep out the ingredient called ra. Because if you let it go into your mixture, it's going to cause a lot of damage. Work on it. We all have ra. We all have desires for things that aren't good for us. But we cannot satisfy ourselves by the good that we do. I give so much charity. I teach so much Torah. I help so many people. On and on and on. Make sure you look with good lenses. How much of that is being done for people to recognize you and try to destroy it like you destroy Hametz on Pesach? Gemalatu tov velo ra. Kavod destroys. Anger destroys. Ego destroys. Ego. Here's a guy who was given a position of leadership. Could be a leadership in his home. It could be a leadership in his business. It could be a leadership in his shul. It could be a leadership amongst his friends or in the community. Leadership is beautiful. What a zechut to be able to do for others. And so much a person can do for others. But throw in a little ego, and all of a sudden, before you know it, here's this guy that's working day and night to help people. And he probably started L'Shem Shamayim. People who have ego don't start necessarily for themselves. But as they get into it, as people become pleased with them, they develop this ego, arrogance. And it becomes more about them than about what they're trying to accomplish. Leadership means you're supposed to be a slave to others. That's what leadership means. A leader is a servant. They call him a public servant. Service. Leadership. That's what it is. And that's why people start doing it. But then all of a sudden they're successful. All of a sudden it becomes an ego trip. It becomes more about them, about promoting themselves. The first time the rabbi spoke, his goal was to inspire people. And after a couple of times, we told him, Hazak Baruch, on the fourth time he's speaking, they should see how good he is. Good rate now in the system. I'm this, I'm that. You know how much ego goes into leadership? Unfortunately, in the most holy places, you'll find ego. Who better example than Korah? Who our rabbis tell us, he was a great tzaddik. Sometimes people get shocked. Oh, I thought he's a big rabbi. Looks like he has an ego. Could it be? Can't be. Could be. It's not so pleasant to watch, but it could be. And if you're looking for an example, go to Korah. Our holy rabbis call them tzaddik. Tzaddik. To be a tzaddik, you got to do a lot in your life. To get that title, you got to work a long time, do a lot of things. That was Korah. But ego ruins everything. Ego ruins every good thing that you're involved in. Gemala tu tov velo ra. Make sure on your journey of good in any area, in any relationship, on your journey of good, don't dismiss the little things that are not so good. Because those little things could ruin everything. Work to make yourself pure. Don't dismiss challenges, yes. To work on it, yes. To own mistakes, yes. Don't dismiss. Don't say no big deal. I do plenty of good. Okay, so I have this ego problem. I have this cover. Don't do that. Tov elo ra. That's what real goodness is all about. Yes, Alvar. A good name. I was asking a good question. Isn't a good name mean by definition that people think you're good? And therefore, let me further explain this question. And therefore, because it's dependent on what they think of you, then it should be your mission to do all the things that they will think good of you. But that's not true. Because looking for their opinion is already making your name not a good name. Looking for them to recognize you is already a stain on your name. That means you're a person that looks for honor and recognition. So by definition, that journey means you don't have a Shem Tov. So you ask me, where does a good name come from? Hachamim tell us in the most powerful and most certain way that when you see a person that people appreciate him, must be Hashem appreciates it. Now, what does that mean? I see many times people appreciate someone. I don't think Hashem appreciates them. We're talking about a guy who you know and see and testify on him that he never looks for people to appreciate him. But yet you see the appreciation. He doesn't try to please them, doesn't go out of his way to do things that they should recognize him, not do anything fancy, not do anything in their eyes. Hachamim say, you see a guy, doesn't look to please anybody, and yet people, they look at him, and they love him. Oh, if you see that, must be Hashem loves him. Why does Hashem love him? Hashem knows who he is. Hashem knows how special this guy is. When somebody is really special in the eyes of Hashem, automatically Hashem will give him hen. He will give him this aura that people automatically will love. A good name is not something you chase from others. A good name comes from the qualities that you have, which is recognized by the Creator and turns you into a light that attracts people towards you and towards your good. Have a wonderful day.